Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Can We Talk Radio. I am your host, Raz Williams, bringing you Can We Talk every other Friday from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Guys, we have a great show lined up for you today. Today's show is titled, He Who Finds a Wife. And I want to preference Proverbs 18:22, and it says, Whosoever finds a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor from the Lord. Notice the scripture does not say, Whoso findeth a single woman to make her a wife. A man may take a woman to be his wife, but it is God who makes a woman a wife. Now let's look at another familiar scripture here, and this is Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And notice that it was the Lord God who said it was not good that the man should be alone. It was the Lord God who came up with the solution for this problem. He said, I will make him a helpmeet for him. When God created the woman, he created her to be a helpmeet for the man. Notice that he created the woman. He didn't find her. The power of God for a woman is to be a good thing. It is not in the fact that she's a woman that makes her a good thing. It is the power of God in the woman and in every woman that makes her a blessing to be a good thing. Being a woman does not automatically make a woman a good thing. Why? Because God also gave every woman the will and the right to make a choice as to whether or not she wants to be a good thing to someone. God has empowered her with the will and the blessing to be a good thing when she makes that decision. Even better, when the woman decides that she will be a wife or a helpmeet, a good thing, in service to God first, then in ministry to the man who is to be her husband. This is when she finally decides this in her mind, in her spirit, this is when she's truly, really and truly the kind of wife who's divinely worthy to be found. You know, the Bible teaches that Christians can marry anyone they want to, so long as they marry another believer in the Lord, and that's 1 Corinthians 7:39. But with that scope of freedom that we have as believers in Christ, we are also commanded to be careful how we walk, and that's Ephesians 5:15. We should walk as wise men, not as unwise men. And Paul specifically applies this principle to the kinds of relationships believers can enter into. He writes, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. And that's 1 Corinthians 6:12. It seems that in this verse, Paul was responding to the shallow reasoning some single Corinthians used to justify being in relationships that they had no business being in. They seem to be parading their liberty of not being under the law and therefore consider themselves free to do so, and to be with whoever they wanted. And Paul responded that believers do have liberties, but our liberties must be circumvented by the principle that we need to choose the ways that are more beneficial and advantageous in Christ. So before you choose or pick any woman to be your wife, make sure you are accurately answering the question, is she truly a wife? And so I want to go ahead and introduce my special guest from this evening. Minister Dell is like a big brother to me and a mentor rolled into one. He is the author of the book titled In That Land. And man, I strongly advise that you go out and purchase that book. I believe it can be found on Amazon, but we'll definitely find out soon enough. But it will definitely revolutionize your thinking as it pertains to seeking a godly wife. And it's always a pleasure to have you on the show today, Minister Dell, and always a pleasure to have you on Can We Talk, period. And I want to thank you for being on the show. How you doing, sir? And what do you think of tonight's topic?
Hey, I appreciate you for having me. Can you hear me well?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. I definitely I like tonight's topic, in this, especially in the sense that what you said is true, is that we can decide who we want to enter into a relationship with, but that doesn't make it, that doesn't necessarily make it a profitable relationship. And so I think it's very important to allow yourself to be humbled before the Lord, allow yourself to be led by God, and, you know, and develop your relationships based off of His leading.
Amen, absolutely. Thank you for that, Minister Dell. Next, I want to introduce my next special guest, Minister Gerald Horn, all the way from South Carolina. Minister Horn is a minister of the gospel, and he ministers with his wife, Teresa Horns. And, man, he's a mighty man of God. Man, this man has spoken into my life on numerous occasions, and he was spot on, right on. And, man, you guys are in for a treat tonight. Minister Horns, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, sir. How are you? And what do you think of tonight's topic?
God bless you. God bless you. Good to be here. It's an honor to be here. Today's topic is good. I love it. I prayed and asked God for some understanding, and He provided it. I just thank God for it.
Amen, amen. Guys, if you have a question or comment, the number to call us is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Now, Minister Horns, I know the Lord has given you a word to share with the men tonight to encourage them in this area. And I'm going to give you the floor for the next 20 to 30 minutes to, you know, to share what the Lord has put in your heart on the topic of he who finds a wife. And after that, we'll get into some questions and hopefully take some calls from the listeners.
Amen. Well, I want to say, first of all, everything both of you said was absolutely on point, and it's just absolutely true. And as I was praying, asking God for understanding and revelation, what He spoke to my spirit and said that he who finds a wife, in order to find something, you first got to know what you're looking for. And today's man don't know what he's looking for. So in order to find out what we're looking for, we must first find out what God dictates as a marriage. What was the prerequisite for God to ordain marriage? And the reason God ordains marriage is, first and foremost, for ministry, to be a blessing to someone else. Secondly, He ordained marriage for that we won't be in sin, because he don't want us to be in sin in no way, shape, form, or fashion, because He abhors sin. And thirdly, He ordained marriage so that we won't be alone. He said, as you were reading earlier, Brother Ryan, He said, it's not good for man to be alone. So in all these things, when we get all this together, we understand now, okay, these are the prerequisites that we're looking for to find a wife. Is this someone that in 50 years I can walk with and say, I can do ministry with this woman? Is this someone that I can walk with and say, I can tell her my deepest secrets and she won't tell nobody, I can trust her, so I'm not alone? And then we got to look at, is this someone, not just someone I can lay with, but someone I can be with where I won't be in sin before God's eyes? And we got, and the problem today is society that we get one out of three. We go find somebody who's, well, we won't be alone, but we can't do ministry with. We find somebody who we can lay with and not be in sin, but we still can't, but we still alone and can't do ministry with them. We got to find somebody, when we find somebody who fulfills all three prerequisites, meaning we are equally yoked, because me and her both on the same level in God, we can do ministry together. Me and her can lay together and not be in sin, and we won't, I won't be alone, because I can trust her and she can trust me. So now I found a wife. I found somebody that I can trust with my soul and my spirit, my heart. And God said, now that you found that one good thing, tainted favor, now you can have my favor. But see, a lot of times we, as saints of God, especially in the church, we found one thing. We find a woman that has one characteristic, and then we asking God, why I can't have your favor? And God is simply saying, well, you don't have all the characteristics in that one woman. You got somebody you can lay with, but you can't do ministry with. And if you don't have all the characteristics in that one person, in that woman that makes her a wife, that's what makes her a good thing. That's why God said, now you can have my favor, because you got everything rolled up in one. And I don't have to worry about you anymore. Because beforehand, God said, you good by yourself, but I don't want you to be alone, because the enemy can come in and tempt you. So I'm going to give you somebody. I'm going to give you a helpmeet. And thus marriage was formed. But he ordained it because he knew the ends from our beginnings. He knew man was going to fall. He knew we was going to be tempted. He knew all this stuff was going to happen. So he said, I'm going to make a way of escape. So when they do fall, they can come back to me. So when they do get tempted in their flesh, they'll have a wife to lay with. So when they do get tempted and being alone, they have someone they can trust with. And even in the New Testament, when Jesus sent them out, he said, I'm sending you out two by two, so you won't be by yourself. So when you land there and you fighting that battle in the spirit realm, you can roll over and say, babe, I need you to pray for me. Can you pray for me tonight? But if she's not equally yoked with you, you still land there alone. Because you trying to ask her to pray, and she's steady saying, well, I would pray, but I ain't feeling it tonight. I don't know what to pray about, or I don't know what to say. So you need somebody that you can count on, that when the battle gets tough and the enemy is attacking, you need somebody that you can lean on and say, can you pray for me? And not just me always pouring and praying and giving it to you, but I need you to pray for me this time. So that way we won't be alone, we won't be in sin, and God can use us to minister to other people. Because everything that we go through in this life, everything is for a reason and for a purpose. It's that we can share with somebody else, that we can encourage and uplift and build up somebody else. So if I'm going through this thing right now, it's not just about me. It's about who gonna come after me that I can minister to and tell them, you know what, I've been where you at. And I can promise you, God will bring you through it. I promise you, because he brought me through it. He delivered me. He did it for me, and he's no prospective person. So if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. But so oftentimes we don't have that in our marriages in the body of Christ. We just go find somebody who got some money, got a big booty, got some big breasts, got a pretty face, or whatever the case, whatever your longing is, whatever you desire. But see, we got to step out of our flesh and say, it's not about what I desire. It's what God's desire is for my life. And seeking that, then I can find the good thing. Because I can't find nothing if I don't know who I am in God. I can't find nothing if I don't know what his plan is for my life. Because all I'm going to be doing is find somebody who looks good to me, who's going to satisfy my will and not God's will. And if we always satisfy our will, then God does not fit into the picture. And if God is not in the picture, then it's not going to work. It's going to fail every time. And the sad thing is, that's why a lot of Christian marriages today is failing. We go out and find women who fit one of the three criteria and don't fit all three. But once you find that one woman, and I encourage the men today that to hold on, that God sees what you're doing, and he honors your word, and he hears your prayers, and he's going to bless you and give you what you desire. He knows what you are asking for, and he's going to bless you with it. But you got to ask him. See, we saying, God, give me this, give me this. But you got to turn the press and say, God, fix me and get me ready. Show me who I am so that I can find who I need to be with so I can get to my destiny in you. Because if we marry the wrong woman, she can hinder us from getting to our destiny. If we marry somebody that's because she got a pretty face, but she's not, we can't minister with her, then we try to go to our destiny, she can't go with us. And we got a divorce, another divorce, because she couldn't go. She was not prepared. She was not ready. She just wasn't ready. She wasn't even the right one, no way, shape, form, or fashion. But she was pretty to us and our will. And we pick that. And so many times, that's what we as men, that's what we do. we pick somebody that's pretty to us or satisfy some kind of need in our life instead of saying, God, what's your will for my life? You know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. I don't. What is your will that I for my life so that I can find somebody that I can minister with, so that I can find somebody so that I won't be in sin, so that you can keep me? And in the meantime, while you're yet building me and shaping me, I pray, God, that you would keep me so that I won't fall. And then give me somebody that I won't be alone, God. In the name of Jesus, help me, Father, so that I can have somebody that will walk with me and that will be on my level so that I won't be unequally yoked. And I just love it because all this stuff fits together and comes together as one. God brings us together as one. And he even said, now the two have become one. So we're still one in the spirit. And I just bless the name of the Lord. That's what he gave me concerning he who finds a wife, because before you can find a wife, you got to know who you are. And before you can know who you are, you got to know what you're looking for. And if we don't know what we're looking for, we just go out and pick any old thing. And that's what so many men in the church are doing. And not only men, but so many women are going out and just, oh, he look good, let me pick him. But he's not what God has for you, and you shouldn't be picking him anyway. That's what's going on. That's why we got so many divorces in the church. We're going and picking things according to what we want and what our will is. Okay, well, God, I'm doing this, but what about my will? No, it's about what God wants for your life and for your will. If you yield your vessel to him, then you got to yield everything. You just can't yield one part of it. You got to yield your whole vessel to him so that he can bless you in every aspect of your life. And then he will begin to show you and teach you who you are so that you know what you're looking for. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And that's what God had given me, Brother Rad, that we got to know what the prerequisites of marriage is in God's sight before we just go out looking. We take off and go looking for stuff and don't know what we're looking for.
Amen.
I'm looking for it, but I don't know what it is I'm looking for. And then when I find it, I don't know what it looks like. So how am I going to find it if I don't even know what it looks like? I can't find nothing if I don't know what it looked like. If you tell me to go find a bike and I don't know what that bike looked like, or what a bike is, I'm never going to find it. And I can trip over it and fall over and walk over it 10 times all day long. But until I find out what a bike really is and what it looks like, I will never see it. And that's why we got to find out what is a wife according to the word of God. What is the foundation of marriage according to God's will and God's plan? And once we get that and get that into our spirit man, then we can go out and, okay, God, I got it now. Now I can go find my wife, because now I know, okay, she don't fit that. I can't do ministry with her. She don't fit that. I can't tell her everything. She don't fit that crap. So I can weed all the bad ones out, and I won't get tricked and fall for the con by the enemy. The enemy can't trick me no more to fall for this girl over here because she got a pretty face, or to fall for this girl because she got a big booty or whatever the case may be, or fall for this lady because she got some money in the bank. But I won't be tricked anymore because now I know what a wife feels, and I know what I'm looking for, and I know who I am. So now everything comes together. I know who I am, and I know what I'm looking for. So now the devil can't trick me. He can't make me fall into that hole. The Bible says when the prodigal son, he said he came to himself, said, let me go back to my father's house. He came to himself, meaning in the instance that he lost everything that he knew about himself, who he was truly in himself, he had forgot because he went out and fell into sin and started doing everything that he wasn't supposed to be doing that he wasn't taught to do. His father didn't teach him how to do that stuff. He went out and just that he wanted to do of his own free will. And when we do things of our own free will, that's when we get in trouble. So I'm going to choose her because that's what I like. I'm going to choose her because she's prettier than me. But that's of my own free will. So now I'm going to get in trouble. So then when it don't work, I want to pray and blame God and holler, everybody pray for my wife because she tripping out, and pray for Dick or my man. But that's not the marriage that God ordained. That's not who God told you to marry. And if we truly listen to the Spirit of God, a lot of times before we make that mistake, God say, don't marry her. Don't marry him. She ain't the one. He ain't the one. Don't marry him. But because we're doing what we want to do, I'm going to marry her anyway, God. I like the way she looks. I'm going. So we got to understand that we got to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. Because if we listen, then we can hear. And if we hear, then all we have to do is obey. Then we won't fall into the trap of the enemy of finding, of getting the wrong woman and not obtaining favor in the eyes of God. Amen. You want to, you have anything, Brother Ryan?
Hey man, that was pretty powerful, man. So you know, guys, if you're tuning for the first time, the title of today's show is titled "He Who Finds a Wife." Special guest, Minister Gerald Horns, all the way from South Carolina, and Minister Dale Lott from Atlanta, Georgia. Minister Gerald, you said a lot of powerful things, and I see the phone lines going here, and I want to take some calls in a quick second. A couple of things that I wanted to mention from what you were talking about, Minister Gerald, was that, you know, I'm remiss of the scripture that says, "Man will not live by bread alone." And you mentioned this as well, and I just want to paraphrase and add some things into that. A man will not live by a big booty alone, or big breasts, or a pretty face. But the wife, the woman that God, the woman that God has for you, the wife that God has for you, will be able to speak the oracles of God back to you. You know what I'm saying? The word of God, and so that's so powerful. And as men, if our minds are not transformed by the renewing of our minds, we're led by our lust. We're led by attracted to what our flesh desires. And that's so dangerous. And I'm reminded of Samson, that he chased all these foreign women, and that's how he met Delilah. And Delilah was the woman that ended up bringing his demise. And so, as men of God, if you do not heed the Spirit of the Lord as it pertains to a wife, then you fall victim to or prey to allowing a Jezebel or Delilah into your life to destroy your destiny, to shorten your lifespan. Samson's lifespan was shortened, and he died in a horrible way. And so it's not just about a pretty face or the sex. It's there's more to do with a wife. And I want to quickly go to a few things here real quick, and I want to talk about why does God take marriage so seriously. And this is what I came up with, and please feel free to discuss this with me. Now, the record of human history begins with a marriage, and that was with Adam and Eve. And I believe it, and according to Revelations, it ends with marriage. That's Christ meets his bride, which is the church. And secondly, marriage is a picture of the relationship that Christ has to his church, which I just said. And thirdly is that God himself will protect the sanctity of marriage. And so marriage was God's decision. It wasn't Adam's. It was God's decision. That was Genesis 2:18. You know, where he said Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. I need to make you a helper, you know, a suitable helper at that. And so that was God's decision, because he saw a need, and he was determined to provide that need in his own way. And so it was God who formed Eve for Adam. God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. God formed Eve from Adam, and Adam had nothing to do with this. He had nothing to do with the process. It was entirely God's doing. God knew ahead of time what kind of helper Adam needed, and he took the responsibility of making exactly the right kind of helper for Adam. And so, thirdly, God brought Eve to Adam. Adam didn't have to go out looking for a wife. He didn't search through the garden saying, where will I find my wife? Where's she at? God actually brought the appointed wife to Adam. And fourthly, God established the terms of their relationship, Genesis 2:24. For this reason, man will leave his father and mother and will cleave to his wife. A man is released from all other commitments and relationships that would hinder his relationship with his wife in order to cleave to his wife. And so I just wanted to quickly, you know, talk about those. Minister Dale, what do you think about my comment?
Actually, I think it's pretty powerful, especially as you were saying that God will actually bring the wife to the man. I've had many times where, you know, you see, I've talked to females, and they're saying, well, I'm not supposed to do anything whatsoever because it's he who finds a wife. He's supposed to find me. And I'm like, yeah, I said, but if I'm walking down the street and a dog walks up to me, what do I say? Oh, look, I found the dog. Was I looking for the dog? No, the dog actually came up to me. But the terminology that we will use is, oh, I found, when really what happened is you discovered something that made themselves available to you. So I say that a lot of times to say, as you were saying, that it's God who's making the presentation. And when God is making the presentation, do not allow your preconceived notions of what you think of how it should be and it should be this and that way to stop what God is doing in your life. The other thing is that I found pretty powerful was the fact that you were saying that God already pre-designed this. God already knew that Adam would need a wife. God already knew how she needed to be, and this was God's gift to Adam. It wasn't Adam who brought it up. Matter of fact, Adam was just so busy being about the things of God, Adam wasn't even aware that he was incomplete because his eyes were so focused on God. But God knew what he would need, and God went about making that provision available to him. And one of the only process that Adam had involved, that he was involved in, is when he went to sleep, he began to dream. That's it. And the image that was developed on the inside of him, because he was so full of what God had said, it's not good that man should be alone. So he was so full of that, that as he slept, his dreams were active. And he was dreaming about that which God had already said, but yet he had no active role in creating her. He just sat there and got his thoughts and his speech in line with what God had said, and God brought to him the gift that God already had for him.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. I want to take a call real quick from the I want to take a call from the 619 area code. Call from the 619 area code. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, hello?
Yes, go ahead, sir. Do you have a question or comment? We can.
Okay, yeah, I'm hearing a lot of good things and some of the things that the minister said. By the way, my name is Adrian. I'm calling from San Diego, California. Applies to some of the experiences that I've had in terms of really knowing what you want before you go out and ask God for it, or before you go out and start really speaking to these different women. But my experience, it sounds like a lot of what you're saying, though, it sounds more like in the perfect world. A lot of it seems like theoretical as well, you know. Like in the practical world, let's say you meet someone that gives you, I mean, she may be beautiful, and maybe she's giving you the right testimonies, maybe she's talking about God a lot, and you're getting to know this person. This person comes across as if they are a Christian, and they might not be the perfect Christian because we're all of us, we fall short, right? So you start to fall for this person, and then you realize, okay, well, maybe this person's got some issues because we all have them, but what do you do at that point? I mean, do you just say, well, this person might be giving me a hard time in certain cases, maybe this person is bringing me stress, and in other cases, but at the same time, this person is claiming to be a Christian, and we pray together, and we go to church together. I mean, where do you draw the line and say, well, this isn't the one for me? Or do you say, okay, well, we're not perfect. We're living in a perfect world. Maybe we need to continue to work together to try to build something together to draw us closer to God. In other words, if you find someone that's already tailor-made for exactly what you've prayed for, or do you... are you open to just whoever God places in your life? And this person might not be the ideal partner, but, you know, you might not be the ideal partner for her as well, because we all fall short. And you work together to build something and grow closer to God. And that's the practical world that I live in, because the experiences I've had with just recently two different relationships, they both started off where, you know, I've gotten some powerful testimony. I said, this has to be from God. And then it turns out that there were a lot of issues that would come up that would cause me a lot of stress. And, a good friend of mine tells me, well, if they're bringing you stress, then it's not of God. But how do you know that? How do you really know that? How do you know that God's not putting this person in your life so that you can work with this person or you can work together and become stronger in the Lord together rather than just, you know, hey, you know, this question isn't for me and walking away. But that's not the real world we live in. So that's it. That's my question.
All right. Who wants to answer that question? Go ahead.
I'll jump real quick. All right. A lot of what Brother Gerald was saying, now you said it was kind of theoretical, but it's actually very practical because what he's saying is you have to lay the groundwork for what it is that you believe God has already done before you get to that relationship. So you are – what happens in those kind of situations, I've been there myself. What happens is we have no direction, no rudder, and so we enter into this relationship without a picture as to what it should look like. When you decide to go about it the opposite way, I'm going to get in the Word of God first. I'm going to discover my purpose, and I'm going to be so full of what God has said in His Word about a wife and about my purpose that when I meet this person, there will be something that bears witness in my spirit. I don't know if you're familiar with the story of Martha was to bear, you know, she was giving birth to Jesus, and her cousin, Martha was giving birth to John, who would prepare the way for Jesus. Mary was pregnant with Jesus. When Martha and Mary got in each other's presence, neither one of them knew what God had said to them. But Mary started talking, and the Bible says that as soon as her voice hit the ears of Martha, Martha's stomach began to jump because what Martha was full of was tied to what Mary was full of. And so now their purposes are starting to relate to each other. And if you find that you're not full of what God has said in His Word, then, yeah, you're going to be lost. But if you're so full of it that you're pregnant with it, it's easy now to be able to tell who belongs in your life and who doesn't. So you're out here trying to make relationships work, and that's not what Minister Gerald is talking about. He's talking about receiving what God has already prepared for you. The Bible says every good and perfect gift, it comes from above. So God tailor makes everything according to our lives, and if we will yield our desires to Him, it tells us in the Bible that He will give us the desires of our heart, not just give us what we like, but He will actively shape our desire for Him that works in us both to will and to do His good pleasure. So first and foremost, your desires will begin to line up with what you've been studying in the Word. That's going to shape your desires. So now when you find this wife that God has for you, she's going to be thoroughly pleasing to you. You know, when Samuel first anointed the king, he anointed Saul king, and he could see that Saul was this big strapping guy. So when God said, hey, I want you to anoint somebody else king, and he went to the house of Jesse and saw his first son and saw how big and strapping he was, he said, oh, this must be the king. And God said, nope, don't look at the outward appearance. I need you to look at the heart. But when he went and anointed David, guess what it was said about David? It says that he was a handsome person too. So it's not that God is going to give you something less. He's just asking you to yield your desires to Him. He's giving you His Word. If you take His Word, put it in your heart, right? Take that Word, which is a seed, put it in the ground of your heart, and let it grow out of you. It becomes sweatless to find that person that God has for you. No effort at all. And all of the stresses that you're talking about, they cease to exist because God is putting it together. That means there won't be some challenges that you have to grow together in, but it will be a situation where you know that this person fits in your life.
Amen. And, you know, the Bible says that whom God has joined together, not what your lust has put together, not what your loneliness has put together, not what your attractiveness for this other woman has put together, but whom God has joined together. And we discussed at the very beginning of the show that only God can make a woman into a wife. He who finds a wife, not a single woman or not a pretty woman, but he who finds a wife. That there's a scripture in the Bible that says if you want to have friends, you must first show yourself to be what? Friendly. So a woman who's going to be a godly wife must be displaying those wifely characteristics in Christ that she is before God feels comfortable presenting her to a man that will be her one day husband. And Minister Gerald, is there anything you wanted to add to what Minister Dale said to Adrian?
Yes, I wanted to add everything that Minister Dale said was accurate and right on point. I was going to add the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. If we got that, we in the face of God, we have to learn to obey the word of God and listen to the spirit of God to hear what God is saying. We can avoid a whole lot of issues and problems that we have in our life if we just obey the spirit of God. And but see, the problem comes in where God may say, she ain't the one, but my flesh ain't over, but I like her. So now I don't want to listen. I don't want to hear what God got to say. And God, and the Spirit of God spoke to me a few weeks ago and said, I don't mind speaking to my people, but my people don't want to hear what I got to say.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is God is steady speaking, but we don't want to receive because it don't align with what we want to do. So if we would just stop and listen to the Spirit of God and obey what God is saying, then all these issues that we are coming up with, all these weights that we are putting on ourselves, we won't have. Because we just got to obey what the Spirit of God is saying.
And that's very powerful. Here's another thing, guys, is this, is that I remember my situation that I was in where God told me that I said, God, she's fine, but she said she's not mine. And your love is too pure for an infidel. And so I disobeyed the Lord anyway, just not only to find out what God already knew from the beginning that it's not going to work. So who's got time for getting to know somebody? It's not God's will. You break up. You do it all over again and again and again. Nobody's got time for that. You're wasting time. You're running out of time, and God has nothing but time, but you're wasting time, and you're delaying the process of being with your God-ordained wife. And you talked about practicality. God is as practical as it comes. He says, I change not. You know what I'm saying? So God changes not. The way he blessed Adam, he's going to bless us today as men of God. So we have to align ourselves with what he wants. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not only that, Brother Ryan, but each time we get into a relationship and then come out, we add more baggage and we get hurt.
Amen.
We put our heart into it and then we get hurt. Then we put our heart again and we get hurt. And now I ain't going to trust nobody. I don't want to. Oh, these are just tricks of the enemy so that we won't get what God has for us.
Amen.
Let me add one. Go ahead.
Okay, no, I was just going to add real quick. One of the things that's happening, and what he's saying is so powerful. One of the things that happens is if you get off the middle path to the left or to the right, you're now in error. And by that I mean this. We have had such a teaching sometimes that everything is pie in the sky, that now what has happened is everybody has veered too far to the right of talking about how we have to fight through relationships and how we have to work hard to build this. And we have this thing that marriage is supposed to be hard and it's supposed to be a struggle. Relationships ain't easy. And we've accepted that as the high thought because you're trying to counter that, oh, relationships aren't Hollywood. Well, if you go too far to the left and believe relationships are Hollywood, you're out of balance. But if you go too far to the right and start thinking that you're supposed to have a lot of stress, a lot of hardship, and we got to really work to make this happen, and it's just about coming together, then what ends up happening is now you're in relationships where you're sweating hard to make something happen that God didn't design, God didn't author. And then you wake up 20 years later like, what did I work for? What have I gotten here? And at the end of it all, you find that it is nothing and it was vanity when God had something better for you, but you were so content to believe the lie that we had to work super hard for this to work. And that's not the way it is. There is a balance. You got to stay right there in the middle. You know, there are some challenges, yes, but you got to be careful not to allow yourself to be pulled over too far to where you're working for something that was never even ordained by God.
Amen.
Woo!
Adrian, you still there?
Yeah, I'm listening, and everything you're saying is making sense because I'm looking at, you know, sometimes I feel like I don't know if I'm really listening because sometimes I don't know if I'm really listening. I mean, I pray about it, and it feels right, but then there are times where I do question, and maybe those are the times that God's talking to me personally about it. Actually, because I'm like a fixer type of person. You know, I meet people, and, you know, if I'm in a relationship with someone and I see that, you know, no one's perfect and they might have some issues, I try to work it out and try to help them, try to fix those issues. And what I'm learning is that, you know, it doesn't work. You know, you can't change people, but I still try. You know, I figured that that's what you're supposed to do. You don't just walk away, you know. like you just said, it's not supposed to be easy because everybody comes to the table with issues. I'm just being real about this, you know. Everybody comes to the table with issues. I got issues. Everybody got issues. So I say that these are the type of issues that can be worked out, you know. And you know, I'm a type A personality, so I always try to find a solution. And I try to keep it, you know, based on the Word of God and staying focused on God, because I feel like there no relationship can work, pray together, unless you're together in Christ, you know. So I see what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, and it makes sense. Maybe that's what I'm not doing enough. Maybe I'm just not listening. And I'm kind of listening to myself rather than listening to God. Maybe the people that I've met, just it wasn't meant to be. Maybe that's just it. I didn't hear God saying that. Wasn't listening. That's it.
So let's explore the mental Dell. Okay, go ahead.
Yes.
I just want to say one thing that Brother Adrian said is the key thing he says he tries to fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
We can't fix nothing. You got to let go and let God. You trying to do it in yourself, it's not going to work. It's going to fail. Every time you try to fix it, it's going to fail. But if you step back and let go and say, okay, God, I give it to you, you fix it. And whatever comes of it, comes of it. If it works, it works. If it don't, it don't. But I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to leave it with you. We can't fix nothing. All we're going to do is make a bigger mess out of it.
Yeah, see, like that's. I don't understand that. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand when you say that. If you're in a relationship and you're having problems, even if it's with your wife, you're supposed to get together and whatever it is, work it out, right? I mean, you pray together and you pray that God help guide you, but you still have to take action. No.
Okay. Well, let me jump in on this one. Here's the thing. This is just what I'm hearing from you, okay? And I've been there, so there's no judgment. But it sounds like what you're trying to do is you're trying to take your situation and apply it and then pick up the Word of God and try to use the Word of God to fix your situation.
Amen.
Instead of saying, here's what the Word of God says, I'm going to allow the Word of God to lead me. It's like you're in a boat, okay? And the boat has a few holes in it, and you're taking the Word of God and seeing if you can fix this boat when God is saying through His Word, that's not your boat. You see what I'm saying? The Word of God is speaking to you. This is not your boat. And because you feel like I can fix things, I can work things out, that's what we're supposed to do. You're supposed to do that when that's what the Word of the Lord says to you. Nobody is perfect. You are absolutely correct. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. So we're supposed to deal with each other in love. But when you are trying to take the Word and tackle your situation, you're trying to live by the letter of the law. When God has written His Word on your heart, what He really wants you to do is to get before Him, allow Him to change what flows out of you. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 4:20, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. What He wants is for the Word of God to be springing forth out of your heart. And as it's springing forth out of your heart, it is the forces of life creating your life. And so once that Word is coming out of you, it is leading you. It is guiding you. It has shaped everything in your life. And now you're not just reaching for a scripture or two to try to patchwork your situation. The Word flowing out of your heart has created your situation, which is a totally different scenario than, oh, well, we're supposed to work together. Let me see if I can find a word that says we're supposed to work together when God said Himself out of His mouth, this is not for you. You're trying to apply the written Word where God didn't design you to apply it.
Wow.
Amen. And, you know, and Brother Adrian, you know, I was much like you where I was, for the longest time in my life, I was always attracting, and Minister Dell, I want to have you chime in a quick second, though. I was attracting women that were fixer-uppers. They had issues, and they were emotionally unavailable. And it wasn't so much about them It was about what I believed inside of me. That was like, and so as men of God, the state of your soul is, can be like a magnet that where you when you operate on the frequency of dysfunction, you attract, and the enemy knows this, and he keeps sending these beautiful packages that are dysfunctional on the inside, and we think that we have to fix this. No, the thing is that if you keep doing that, you're going to miss God's plan for your life, and this is the danger, to be single when God has called you to be married. To be mad when God has called you to be single, or to marry someone, or to be with someone, or invest in somebody whom God has not called you to invest in. And so the whole purpose of this show is to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to the woman that God has for you. There's many beautiful women out there, and many of them may resemble what you want, but it's the Spirit of God who's going to confirm, and it's going to take patience and hearing from God. But when our flesh is speaking louder than our spirit, man. And for me, it was I went full in like a bull in a china shop, and I didn't want to hear what the Holy Spirit had to say. I wanted to hear what Raz had to say. She's fine, and I got to have this. And where did it end me? It ended me in another failed situation where I had to pick up the pieces, go to before the Lord to restore my soul, restore my emotions, and start all over again. For what?
That is a good point. We got to understand, we as men have to understand that we can't truly find a wife until we find out who we are. If you don't know who you are and where your shortcomings lie and where your insufficiency, what is wrong with me? And then God fix me. Until we can get that straightened out, you can look at all the women you want, ain't none of them going to work. Because every time you find one, something's going to be wrong. And it's not going to be her, it's going to be you, but we don't want to receive that. It ain't nothing wrong with me. And I'll give you a prime example. Before I met my wife, Teresa, and I love my wife. God bless you, babe. Before I met her, I was dating this young lady that I chose out of my flesh. Me, girl, chose her. And she was cute. I liked her. I was all excited. And we said, okay, she was saved and in the church. I was saved in the church. We said, we're going to get married. Okay, we get married. Before we got married, God spoke to her and said, he ain't your husband. Don't you marry him. She came and told me and said, God said, I'm not your wife. I can't marry you. I said, girl, you tripping. God ain't saying nothing. If he says something, he's going to tell me first because I'm the man. I took every scripture that I could find in the Bible to make it fit the situation so that she would marry me. But it wasn't nothing wrong with her. She was hearing from God. And I thank God that she heard from God and stood her ground. Because if it hadn't have been, I would have missed out on what I got now. And I thank God for what I have now, because what I got now, it fits my life. It fits me. It's who I need. So if I would have married her, I'd have been jacked up and messed up, and it wouldn't have worked. And then I'd have been blaming her, talking about, God, why you give me her? But he told her, don't marry him. And I told her, you ain't heard right. God didn't tell you, girl. If God spoke it, he'd have told me first. I say that to say, we got to find out what's wrong with us first. Because, see, I didn't want to hear what God was speaking. And I thank God that she listened. And she said, don't come to my house no more. Don't call me no more. It's over with. And then I went home like, God, why she do that? But I praise God, because if I ain't mistaken, about a month or two later, I met my wife. So I praise God that she had enough sense to listen to God and obey God. And ignore me.
Amen.
So
amen.
We got to learn to find out who we are and what's wrong with us.
Amen. That was awesome. Minister Dale, I want to ask you, why is it, and I think you'll be the, you can really expound on this a lot. As men, I know I've been there, and I'm sure Brother Adrian has been there, and a few other men listening have been there. Why is it that we pursue unavailable women? That you know, because I think as men, sometimes we love the challenge, and that can sometimes work against us if we're not being led by the Spirit. And for me, I believe that God has called us to peace. And he's not off of confusion. So when a woman says that she's not ready or she's unavailable, and she's deeming herself to be unavailable because of her actions and her behavior, and we still pursue that, I mean, is that God's will?
No, it's not. And it goes in line with something Minister Gerald just said. He was talking about a woman who was not his wife. And here's the simple truth. Any woman that's not your wife is unavailable. And you have the choice whether or not you want to continue to pursue. But she's unavailable, not because she's not available to somebody, but because God didn't make her available to you. But why do we continue to choose these women? Why do we continue to pursue? Well, it's because of our own insecurities. It's because of the brokenness that's on the inside of us. We don't want to be alone. And it's funny, I had a brother. I really hate to put his business out there like this, but he has a way of, let's say, controlling women. And really what he would do growing up, he's a good-hearted brother, but this was one of his weaknesses. But what he would be able to do is he'd be able to pick at their flaws, right, to the point where he made them feel bad enough about it that they always kept running back to him. It's something about that person that brings out your flaws, your weaknesses, that always causes you to go back to them as if you are trying to prove to them that you aren't weak in that area, that I'm good enough. There it is. Thank you. That I'm good enough. And when you're always trying to prove that you're good enough, you're chasing the thing that tells you you're not good enough.
Amen.
But if you can find yourself in the Word of God, no, first of all, recognize, yes, in and of myself, I am not good enough. But by the grace of God, Jesus has made me good enough. He deemed me worthy to die and shed his blood for me, and he made me the righteousness of God. So it's not by my strength, it's not by my power that I am good enough, it's not by my qualifications that I'm good enough, it's by one man, by his sacrifice, that I am good enough, and his grace is extended into every area of my life. And I live this life by that grace. And when you begin to understand that you live this life by that grace and you lay hold of that grace with your faith, now all of a sudden you find what the will of God is for your life. Like Brother Gerald said, here's the truth. About a month or two later, he found his wife. But notice what he said earlier is that he had to find out what he was broken in, right? But guess what? We get to the point where we say, I can't have this wife or I can't have this husband because God is still working on me. Guess what? God was still working on him when he brought him his wife. But it was because of the grace of God that was flowing in his life, and he was willing to receive it by faith. It wasn't, because if it was God had finished working on him, then it would have been his qualifications that brought his wife. But it wasn't the qualifications. It was the grace of God, and it was just him yielding to that grace and accessing it by faith. How did he access it by faith? He thanked God for it. Wow, thank you. And he walked on with it. And that's what you have to do, Brother Raz. You cannot get yourself into the cycle of trying to prove that you're good enough. You let your fears and your insecurities lead you. You don't want to be alone, because when you're alone, you feel your insecurity. And instead of running to Jesus and running, you're saying, I feel insecure, you go run to the arms of a harlot.
And another thing real quick is that Adam didn't have to prove himself to Eve because he didn't have to prove himself to God. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to prove yourself to none of these women. You don't have to. I mean, God loves you. He knows you, and he knows who you are. And we as men cannot. I was watching this HGTV and the guy who was buying, he was an investor buying this house. He said that, you know, this is not a good investment. I'm not going to invest my money in this house, even though the house looked good. But inside the house was all kinds of problems. The plumbing had issues. The structure had issues. It had termites in there. It was a beautiful house, but he said, I you know what? I bow down. I pull out of this deal. I don't want this. This is not a good investment. This is not where I've been called to invest my money, my time, my energy. And so, glory to God. You know, we as men have to say that this is not an investment that God has called me to. God has not called you to find someone who doesn't want to be found, or someone who does not want to be your helpmeet. You need to help me, Brother Adrian. You need to help me who can help you in life to accomplish the things that God has called you to accomplish. And being with a pretty face after you've had all the sex you want, after looking at so many times, you know, that's going to get old real fast. Mm-hmm. How many men in the Bible have perished because they picked the wrong woman? How many assignments and ministries have been canceled out because they picked the wrong woman? And this is not against women. I'm just saying, pick the wrong woman. For example, if you're a hammer, and she's a nail, then your purposes are aligned. That's a perfect situation. But if you're a hammer and she's a pretty pot of paint, even though you guys may be attracted to one another, you're going to be very frustrated because the purpose, you can't do nothing with that pot of paint because you're a hammer. You're not designed or made or manufactured to do anything with a pot of paint.
Mm-hmm.
I rest my case.
Yep. I was going to bring up that point. That's a good right there. It's about purpose.
Amen.
Brother Adrian, thanks for calling the show. Keep listening.
Yeah, I'm still here. Thank you. I appreciate everybody.
Amen, amen. Amen, amen. I want to take a few more calls. We got some calls. Actually, we got two callers from the 910 area code. I'm going to call their last four digits. The first last four digits is going to be ending in 4638. Hello, caller, ending in 4638. Do you have a question or comment? Call ending in 4638. Do you have a question or comment?
Oh, no.
Okay. Just want to listen in. Okay, perfect. Come with the next caller ending in 2823. Caller ending in 2823. Do you have a question or comment? I just want to listen in. No problem. I'm going to go to another call. I think it's a Skype call because there's no actual number. But, caller, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I do, sir. Good evening. Look, one of the things that I noted, and you guys have made some good...
Excuse me, sir. Can I get your name, please?
Yeah, Solution.
Okay, and Solution, where are you calling from?
L.A.
Okay, what's your question, sir?
Well, I have an observation, and, a question also. One of the points that's not being made is that context is very important regarding that subject of he who finds a wife. That was uttered in a context where there were arranged marriages, and the culture was very marriage-oriented, so they prepared both men and women for marriage. We don't do that today. That's the reason we have more single people than married people. And the other thing is we don't have a model for men and women connecting, that is, talking to each other. I wrote the seven communication principles to love, sex, and dating, and there's seven results. And I would bet no one would say communication is not an important part of any healthy relationship. But yet we don't talk about how that communication occurs or how people should be participatory in that communication, or should I say purposeful in that communication. So the big problem is, we lack a model. And just saying that, leave it up to God, okay, would the reality be that God has not given anyone the wisdom to create a model for how we should interact as available men and women? I think God has definitely done that. I think we just don't do our part. And we need to have an attitude of communication. Otherwise, we're not going to get anywhere.
Okay,
that's a really good point.
Well, thank you for that, Mr. Solutions from Los Angeles, California. Brother Gerald, what do you think of Mr. Solutions' comment?
I think it's very good, accurate comment. Communication is very important. I think that where the breakdown is that the Bible says train up a child in the way that he should go. Now, as he was relating to the scriptures back in the day when they had fixed marriages and arranged marriage, that's because there was a man and a woman in the house teaching their children. Nowadays, we don't have that. The enemy has came in and attacked the man and attacked the family. So now you got men, you got boys and males walking out, having babies, and then walking out and leaving. So they're not there to set the example. So it's not that God didn't do it. It's that we fell short and we walked away from our responsibility. We as men got to step up to the plate and say, okay, I laid with her. she got pregnant. Now, that's my response. I got to take care of that child. Whether I go marry somebody else or not, I got to take care of my baby. But instead of doing that, we'd rather you take care of her. I ain't dealing with you no more. I send you money. You take all the money and spend it on you. No. Whether that lady spend all the money on her or not, that's still your child. And you got to take responsibility and stop trying to shift it on somebody else. And that's what we do today. So many people are shifting the responsibility on somebody else and not accepting their own responsibility. That's what I did. Now I take responsibility for it.
You know, another thing I wanted to mention, I believe that what Mr. Solutions was getting at was that there's a breakdown in today's society, and, you know, the olden days was different, and that may be so, but God still doesn't change. And God who understands that you want to have a wife and he wants you to be married, he understands the times you live in. He's God, he's gonna make the situations necessary for you to grow and learn in order for you to be suitable for the person that he has you for to marry. And just like me, I mean, I grew up without a father in the home, and there's many things that I didn't learn as a result of that. But however, God has through the things I've been through, has been able to teach me many things about manhood that I didn't get from my father. And so God, if you're trusting the Lord, He will make a way for you to be able to teach you how to communicate. God teaches us these things. And so because we live in different times in the biblical days, it does not mean that we cannot get to that level where we can be successful husbands and wives. And so I just wanted to make that point.
Yeah. I was curious as well, though, to find out more about the model that he said that he did right. Because, you know, God, it says that we have the Holy Spirit. We don't need any man teach us because the Holy Spirit is teaching us. However, even still, God has given us his written word. It says that he gave us apostles and prophets and teachers, you know, so that we can all be equipped. So you see Paul and him preaching and saying, hey, make sure you follow me as I follow Christ. There was a manner, there was a model to follow after. But at the end of the day, I mean, that's the word, that's the guide. But, you know, you live by what the, as we call it, the rhema word from God, the specific instruction. But I was still, you know, I was still interested in hearing what this model of communication was. There was, as you said, there were seven communication factors. And the cool thing that I think about is this, that for each person, even with my book, you know, there is people that it's directed to. But you have to be very, very careful as well, just even from the things that I say and the things that I write, and saying, oh, I see that that's what he did. I'm going to do exactly what he did, because what I said and what I did was what was God authored to me, God inspired to me. And if you try to do it without God speaking it to you, it becomes a man reason thing to you, and it's something that you're doing by your own
effort. Amen. Amen. Amen.
You know, but like I said, but we don't discard the wisdom that comes through each of us, because just as God has given me wisdom, there may be something in those seven principles that he's talking about of communications that we can learn from. You know, even though we don't live by the Old Testament, the Old Covenant anymore, those things were still written for our learning.
And I think we have to be very careful that in your book, Minister Dale and other, we know, you always point people to Christ. You don't point people to your wisdom and your way of doing things and your understanding and your theology and your
right.
and your philosophy. You always point it because we believe that the word of God is the final authority. That God said it, that settles it. And so when you have people that try to pontificate and come up with all these clever clever ways of trying to package things, you know, we got to be really careful that we don't get sucked into that kind of stuff, because if it's not the word of God, then it may sound good, but it's not going to produce the results. You're trying to create your own genre of Christianity or whatever you're trying to do. And so I think you need to be very careful about those kind of things. But I'm going to put Mr. Solutions on again. I think he's still on the line. And Mr. Solutions, are you there, sir? I guess not. Mr. Solutions, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, And I'm going to give you a few more minutes, Mr. Solution, so we don't have much time left, but if you can quickly, you talked about communication. Can you summarize real quick, like, what you can you kind of like explain to us exactly what your communication style consists of, and how does it fit into the Word of God? And first of all, I do want to ask you, Minister Solutions, what is your background? Do you believe that the Word of God is the final authority in life, or what is your theology?
Well, I do, and I'm glad you said that before you dismissed what I have to say, because, you know, one thing about God is open to what people have to say. But at any rate, I'll give you one of the most practical aspects, and that's one of the things about my teachings that I attempt to do, is make it very practical, make it doable. It's nice to have high goals, but if they can't be reached and utilized, they're basically useless. But what I ask that oftentimes the churches, they have a kitchen, okay? They could encourage young men and women who are interested in dating, and obviously they have to get them to communicate effectively who they are. That's the way you ferret out who is most compatible with you. And God leaves that up to us, by the way. Additionally, although he's given us principles by which we can apply that, but those are our options. I talk about the kitchen, have a couple go out and buy food and bring it back and prepare it in the church kitchen. The kitchens are usually stagnant. They're not doing anything. And that way they could get a chance to really interact with each other on a fundamental basis, okay? And not to mention spend less money on meals and restaurants and things of that nature. So, you know, but the communication has to be encouraged. Now, just one other thing. I know you guys have probably heard. Pretty soon women are going to be draftable. That is, you know, they're going to have to defend the country. The Senate has already passed a bill to say that women should be drafted in the Selective Service. So women are totally capable, and that applies to church and non-church women, by the way. So encouraging men and women to engage in effective communication is one of the most useful things that I think the church could do, is encourage them to talk, because we've learned how to be very dysfunctional in our interactions with each other. I think that has to be reversed to where we become more functional. Hi, how are you? Let's go to the park, not spend a whole lot of money, not waste a whole lot of money. I did a little quick calculation. If a person dates three times a month, that's 12 times a year, and and they spend $100, that ends up being like $14,400 a year, just dating 3 days out of a month. And that ends up being $72,000 over 5 years. And a lot of that is charged on credit cards. See why a lot of people are broke. And all of these things interrelate. Dating requires money. There's money that's usually spent. So I just think encouraging couples to talk, to be intentional about their thing, and, you know, use the church kitchen to prepare a meal or several meals, and just communicate and find out who is most compatible with you. So those are just some practical things that I point out. And I say the woman can initiate the communication. It's just communication. She can be aggressor, but she can, you know, actually just talk, just start, open up the conversation. And I think a couple of you guys alluded to it a moment ago. So those are some things that definitely need to be done in our society today in these very broken and hurt relationships.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Mr. Solutions. You know, he said a lot. There's a couple of things that I wanted to touch upon that he said that I just want to clarify. And a few things is that he mentioned that you know, God leaves it up to us as far as deciding who we want to marry. And I have to strongly disagree with that. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:5, it says, "Trust in the Lord thy God with all thy heart. lean not towards your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he should direct thy path. In all your ways, finding a wife is part of, in all your ways, God will direct your path, not your own understanding. God is telling you specifically that do not lean on your own understanding and what's in your soul. So we just talked about, Adrian was on the line, I talked about my past experiences, Minister Dale, you talked about yours, how in the past we leaned on our own understanding. And so so we have to die to self daily. Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. And so when you say God leaves it up to us, he didn't leave it up to Adam. When Isaac was finding a wife, the servant was led by the angel. I mean, there's countless examples where this is why we have the Holy Spirit who will lead us into all truth. Is this woman my wife? The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. So when you say leave it up to you, that contradicts to what the Word of God's saying. Don't lean towards your own understanding, because my ways are higher than your ways. And yes, there's some practical wisdom that we can retain in our human. God gave us common sense. He gave us human wisdom for a reason, which is to calculate mathematics and things of that nature. But when it comes to something as a high magnitude of being marrying a woman who you have to be responsible for and stand before God in eternity of how you treated her, then yes, you must leave that up to God to lead you to that person. And so, Minister Dell, what do you think about my comment?
I think your comments, there's a lot of truth there. I think I will add to it. It's not in disagreement with anybody. It's just adding to the conversation this point here, is that, again, as I was talking about being too far to the left and too far to the right, you get out of balance. And what happens is you're absolutely correct that it is a God-led thing, but where people can take it to the extreme is they fail to realize that, as you've mentioned before, that we are free moral agents. We get to choose whether or not we want to accept the gift that God has for us. And on top of that, when God has sent us the spouse that he has for us, he didn't take away our personality. He didn't take away the things that we like, the things that we desire. Those things are taken into an account. So in essence, I believe part of what Mr. Solutions could be getting at is this, is that as you sit down, and you get to use your mental faculties to evaluate whether or not, according to the Word of God, whether or not this is a person that God has for me. Now, if you try to go all the way to the right and just say it's just my own evaluation, now you're out of balance again. But I did find it pretty interesting, some of those simple communication things, because that's one of the things that, that I'm in the process of working on. How do we walk people up to the point of being prepared to get married, and how do we foster and facilitate those relationships without becoming a meat market one, and without creating a scenario where really all we end up doing is keeping people single, because in most singles ministry, they stay single forever. Those communication things that he mentioned, that there was actually some good tidbits in there as well, and I think I have the answer to that later.
Right, and I think I have a part of the actual answer to that question, and that's 1 Timothy 5:2, and Paul says to Timothy, command single men to treat women as sisters in all purity, I think that when I think about my natural sister, I have great communication with my natural sister, because why? I look at her as my natural sister, and the communication just flows, and I know her because she's my sister. And I think until God allows the two of you to take it beyond that relationship, this is a basic relationship, how we're supposed to treat the opposite sex anyways. And so I think that it's God who brings the increase if he does it all. And if he gives us the favor to take it to another level, then you have that foundation as a friendship, I believe. And so I think that's part of the solution to what you question you just proposed.
Go ahead.
I just want to add one thing, Brother Raz. As I was listening to the brother talk about communication, and I was listening, and I agree with what you were saying about it's God-led. I agree with all of that wholeheartedly. What God just dropped in my spirit about communication is that communication is lack because there's no communication with him. If we don't communicate communicate with God, then how can we communicate with each other? And we're supposed to be spiritual beings. We're supposed to be serving a right now God. So if I serve God, but I don't, and we all know prayer is nothing but communicating back and forth with God. I'm talking to God and I'm praying. So if I don't have an active prayer life and communicate with God, then I go to try to talk to a woman, I'm going to go in the flesh.
Yeah, true.
It's not going to be a spiritual thing. So, I mean, I understand all what he was saying about the financial and the $70,000. All that was accurate and true. I understand all that. But when it comes down to communication, if we can't communicate with God, because in our life as saints of God, if he's not first, it don't matter. He has to be first in everything. He gives us a choice and a free will. Like we all agreed and said earlier, he gives us a choice. But we have to choose him. And if we don't communicate with him, then we're not going to know how to communicate with nobody else.
Amen. Guys, if you're tuning in for the first time, we're almost at the end of the show, but we're talking about a very powerful topic today, and it's titled He Who Finds a Wife. The number to call is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. I have a special guest today, Minister Gerald Horns and Minister Dale Lott. Minister Dale, I wanted to ask you, sir, what do you think about, you know, we talked about solutions and even Adrian mentioned about, you know, being more practical as far as in the world that we live in today. What would you say for a man who is possibly looking towards the internet to perhaps meet somebody he may want to marry?
I absolutely have no problem with it. First and foremost, here's your first place. You don't find a wife by chasing woman after woman. You search it through the scriptures. Again, I've shared this with you before, Raz, where God spoke to me. He says, look, if I give you an apple tree, if you ask me for an apple tree and I gave you an apple seed, did I give you the apple tree? And I was like, yes. And he says, now what must you do with that apple seed in order to see that apple tree? I was like, plant it. He was like, exactly. So I've given you the word of God. You have to plant it in your heart, right? So you plant that word in your heart about him providing a wife. It's not good that man should be alone, and he who finds a wife finds a good. Proverbs 31 scriptures. Now, as that word begins to grow out of you, now all of a sudden it's going to demand, it's going to lead you, it's going to pull out an action out of you, because faith without works is dead. Now, that does not mean we try to find an action to prove that we have faith, but it means that our faith is so moved, you see what I'm saying, so that we believe so much that it brings us to an action. So I can't tell you what that action is going to be. So we can get into the minutia of it. Oh, well, if you were doing online dating, then you aren't trusting God. If you're doing this, then you aren't trusting God. No, you have to do what God tells you. If you're trusting in God and God begins to speak to you and lead you in that way, because he leads us with the desires of our heart. I remember a young woman who God wanted to bless her. All of a sudden, she had a desire for pecan pie. She couldn't understand why. Went downstairs into the restaurant of the hotel that she was staying at, and there was a God-divine appointment, assignment right there for her, all because she had a desire for pecan pie. So as you're trusting God, if God's, hey, you know, you might want to take a look at Match.com for a second. Oh, Lord, I don't want to do that. No, that ain't spiritual enough. It's spiritual enough when God said it. It's spiritual. So don't dismiss those things because we want to get so deep that we think that all of a sudden somebody's just going to knock on our door and hallelujah, there it is. That could be the avenue. I mean, God knows that could be the avenue. Let me leave it at that.
And I think that there's a possibility with that. That God in his providence, he knows where your wife is, he knows where you are, he knows how to make the two of you connect. And you know, he was connecting individuals before the internet even was in existence. And so
yes.
And he would still continue to do so even today. And so I think that the internet is not a replacement for God's providence and God's wisdom. I mean, I know that online they have the websites that, you know, you can do all these personality profile tests and whatnot, and which is great, you know, on a humanistic level. But as far as the spiritual level, which, you know, we are spirits,
right,
living this human experience, I think the spirit is more powerful than a personality test or a website. And so, and I'm not trying to be super spiritual again. I'm just trying to put everything back to, you know, and I think we have a liberty to, you can choose anyone you want that's in Christ. That's, we're not saying that you have free choice, but if you want God's best for your life, where you have his favor, his ultimate favor, then he knows the best. So I would say go to him for this and not lean on my own understanding. I mean, I can marry another Christian woman if I wanted to. He gives me the liberty to do that, but she may not be the right Christian woman for me, and that's the point I'm trying to make.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And like I said, it's just about letting him lead you, because he may lead you to Match.com, but if I tried to go Match.com, it would be all in the flesh for me. You see what I'm saying? So, like you said, it's his divine providence. He knows. Again, you may all of a sudden, you know, oh, man, I ran out of gas. And you, man, Lord, why'd I run out of gas? I normally keep gas in my car. And as you walk into the gas station, all of a sudden you bump into your wife. It's the divine providence, like you just said. So
Amen.
That's all I was, you know, that's my two cents on it.
Okay, guys, we're about to approach the end of the show. We've got 9 more minutes, and I wanted to quickly ask one more question and get your closing comments. And I want to I'll have you, Minister Dale, talk about this, answer the question, but I'm first going to ask Minister Gerald. As a man, Minister Gerald, what advice would you give to men who, like you, when you pursued a young lady who you thought was your wife and she told you you were not her husband, how do you overcome being bitter and angry and allowing it to affect your self-esteem as a man and feel rejected, which is what the enemy really wants, you know? How do you overcome that? Because I know a lot of men who are probably listening have gone through situations where they pursued a woman who they thought was their wife, and then it turned out to not be the situation they thought it would be, and were heartbroken or were very disappointed.
Brad, that's a very good question. And I must be honest that what I did was I prayed, and because of who I am and the type of person that I am that God made me to be, I didn't give her my full heart to start out with anyway. It wasn't until I married my wife now that I gave her my heart. I wouldn't give anybody my full heart because, for one reason, the way I was raised, it was really rough and tough, and it was like, I can't find love. Nobody loves me. I felt like coming up, I felt nobody loved me, so it was like, I'm not going to give love to anybody. I'm not giving my heart to anybody. It don't matter what happens, what we do, what we say, you ain't getting my heart. You know, and so I would date a lot of women, but I would never tell them, you my girlfriend, or me and you in a relationship. But I would date them. You know, if I asked them out and they said, yeah, I would go. But I would never say, we in a relationship, because I would never give them my heart. I think a lot of times we give ourselves too easily just because we think we want it to work. Oh, I want this, so if I'm going to give her my heart so she'll know I'm all in, you know? Mm-hmm. And some people do things for ulterior motives. I said that way. You got to check the motives of the heart as to why people do what they do. Because, like I said, when that young lady told me she wanted my wife, it hurted me, but I prayed about it and said, okay, God, if that ain't the one, I thought it was, but if that ain't the one, you got to deal with this and fix me up. And I began to pray for my wife. And ad-lib about what Brother Darryl said about online dating, what you brought up the question, that's how I met my wife, was on the Internet. So I would say it's not about where you meet the person, that it's about being led by the Spirit of God. If we just obey and be led by the Spirit of God, we will find what he has for us. And it will come to us. We don't got to go look for it. It will come to us if we just be obedient.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. It's the same question to you, sir. Well, we got 5 minutes left.
Okay. Real simple. Cry. I mean, and by that, I mean actually feel the emotions of what you're feeling. My feelings are hurt. Lord Jesus, I'm coming to you, and, you know, I'm going to let your grace clean me up. I'm going to stand here with you. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to talk with you. But I'm going to feel these emotions and let you heal them, because if I try to act like they ain't there and just keep going, you know, then basically I'm trying to run a race with a broken leg. No, I'm going to sit here and acknowledge how I feel, and I'm going to let you heal me. And then while I do that, I'm going to be putting my faith and my trust in you that you have someone for me. Dudes, don't cry enough. Sorry, we don't feel our emotions enough.
On that note, I might start crying right now. But yeah, man. Okay, so Minister Joe, thanks for coming on the show, sir. Real quick, sir, what are your last and closing comments?
My last comment would be: know yourself, find out who you are in God before you try to find somebody to marry. Find out who you are. And know yourself, and then your wife will come to you.
Amen. Minister Dell, thank you for coming on the show, sir. It's always a pleasure. What are your last closing comments?
It's in similar vein with his. Take the Word of God, plant it in your heart, keep it there, let the Word of God grow out of you, and that brings about sweatless victory, because when that Word grows out of you, you're going to find the wife that God has for you.
Amen. Amen. Real quick, guys, this has been a powerful show. And remember, God, men who are looking for, you know, who are looking to be married to their God-ordained wife, remember it was God who formed Eve for Adam. God decided that. It was God who brought Eve to Adam after he formed Eve for Adam. It was God who established the terms of their relationship. And so allow God, trust in God to do what he needs to do. Trust in his plan for your life, for your love life, for your marriage. And that's my comment. I want to give a shout out to Minister Teresa Horns. Her husband was on the show. Ma'am, thank you for connecting the two of us. And God bless you, ma'am, and your family. Increase upon you guys. And I want to give a shout out to Brother Adrian for calling in. You know, your God ordained wife is on her way, man of God. And so keep keeping on. And I want to give a shout out to Brother Dale. Hey, real quick, Minister Dale, where can men find your book, and how can they purchase that?
Yeah, you can find my book. Go on Amazon and just type in That Land, A Seed Time and Harvest Approach to Finding a Wife. Or if you just want to email me, Dale Lott Jr., Dale Lott, that's DaleLottJr, @gmail.com, and I'll make sure you get a copy.
Amen. Awesome, awesome. And I want to give a final shout-out to, you know, Minister Gerald Horns for coming on the show. Thank you so much, sir. Powerful comments. And, guys, we'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Please call us back, and we're going to have another exciting show. Have a blessed weekend. See all of you later. Bye.